I expect most of you have felt like complaining when God doesn't answer some particular prayer. It's not fair. I prayed so hard for that and I didn't get it. I wanted somebody desperately to be healed and they died. It was one of the great writers on healing who said this about a particular experience he had. If I'm God's son, why does he treat me so badly? And then he says, he stopped and thought about it for a moment or two. And then I remember how he treated his own son, Jesus. It's very easy, it's very common in our society these days to think in terms of what we're entitled to rather than what we're obliged to do. And of course that's encouraging to people, isn't it? To believe that they're entitled to something, to believe that they're getting there, that what they've done so far in their lives should be enough to make them, what, rich? Successful? Loved, respected. Perhaps we feel entitled to all those things, sometimes at least. Sometimes, of course, that feeling will encourage us to get on. The question remains, are we entitled to it or not? And so often the answer is no. The Christian message is not that we're entitled to a place in the kingdom of God. In fact, quite the opposite. It seems to me that the one group of people whom Jesus said were not going to get to heaven are the people that thought they were really entitled to it. A warning that all of us should take notice of, I think. We're dependent on God's grace, on his gift, undeserved. And sometimes, of course, that's preceded by equally undeserved suffering or pain. And that's basically the theme that runs through our readings. Firstly, the portrayal in the latter part of the book of Isaiah of the suffering servants. We don't actually know who this may have been originally written about. Maybe it was a particular individual living in Babylon in the time of the exile. Or maybe it was a picture of the people of Israel as a whole. The exiled people suffering at the moment in order to show that their God, the God whom only they knew, was the one true God. What we can see is that it fits remarkably well the life of Jesus, the death of Jesus, the purpose of that death, the salvation that it brings. All we, like sheep, have gone astray, we've all turned to our own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Iniquity, not entitlement. We're not offered that warm feeling that we are getting what we deserve, but the assurance of forgiveness, if we're once accepted. G. Jesus himself, St. Paul tells us, did not cling to equality with God, but made himself nothing, taking the nature of a slave. We'll use those words later in the service. Or, of course, from this morning's reading, in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears. Perhaps we can identify with that, sometimes at least, to the one who is able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Not because he was the Son, but because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through suffering. And having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Well, I guess it's no surprise that the Christian church has been pretty bad at learning that particular lesson, that salvation is by grace, by God's gift, not through what we do, whether that be believing certain things or doing certain work. And it's probably not the first example of this happening, but it's one of the early ones that we heard in the Gospel reading. James and John. Grant us to sit one at your right hand and the other at your left. Well, I hope that what they were really saying was, we want to be with you to eternity. But I think they may have been thinking, we want to be better than the others. We want to be entitled to those places. And Jesus' response is, can you even be with me in earthly life? You drink the cup that I drink. You're baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with. Can you really follow even on earth? What makes you think you're entitled to follow in heaven? Let alone be that close. It will be by God's gift, the Father's gift, who decides who sits at the right hand or left. Although quite how things are organised in terms of laying the table in heaven, I don't know. Tricky. But it comes back to that question which I asked at the beginning. Should I get special treatment because I'm God's son? Should you get special treatment because you are a child of God? And the answer is quite simply no. And that sounds like bad news, isn't it? Which is one thing I'm not supposed to preach. Because I want to be encouraging. But think about it a little more and ask what you actually depend on. Do you depend on that hope that says you're entitled? Or do you depend on the fact that God loves you? I would have thought the love of God was rather more reliable than any calculation that we might make about what we deserve, what we're going to get. So be encouraged. In all that you're able to do for Christ, in every Christian work that you do. But recognize, as St. Paul says, that it's not you who does those things, but Christ working in you. And dare to look forward to your place in the kingdom of God, Not because you deserve it any more than I do, but because God loves you and certainly will not withhold from you the fullness of his blessing.